Hey, I'm Scott Hanselman, and it's Azure Friday, and I'm learning all about the Azure Document DB from Ryan Crocker. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Scott.
Let's see some code. We made this database and this system in Azure in the previous video, but I want to see some code.
All right. So in the previous video, we provisioned the database up. We got our endpoint. We got our master key. Let's go ahead and use them. So the first thing we need to do when we get in here is we need to new up a document client, right? And over here, I've got this connection policy, and I'm telling it how I want to connect to my document client.
Now, I assume that that's optional. There's different ways I can connect to this.
Yep, there are different ways. So here, because I'm behind an authenticated proxy, what I'm doing is I'm using HTTPS in the gateway mode so that I can connect through this authenticated proxy. If I was in Windows Azure, for instance, I wouldn't use authenticated proxy. I would actually use our defaults, which were, you know, if you have a look over here, there's direct mode and gateway mode. So we'd use direct mode wherever possible.
Ah, so if I'm running an Azure website, then I'm running within the context of Azure. I'm going to use TCP to directly talk to this. It's going to be more performant.
As long as your client can kind of talk TCP, then we recommend going TCP with a direct mode. But if you're on a phone or a device that's behind a proxy or something like that that needs to use HTTPS, then we recommend you go gateway mode with HTTPS, because that'll get you around some of those issues that you would have trying to go direct.
Okay, cool.
So I'm just going to get rid of all of this stuff over here and use the defaults, which is direct with TCP.
So then you'd remove connection policy.
Yep.
So and now then the document client is smart enough to, the client here that I'm using to connect to this, this was brought in with NuGet.
Yep. So this was brought in with NuGet.
Going to do the right thing and be smart and performant.
Yep, absolutely.
Excellent.
So off we go. And the first thing we do is, in this case over here, because this is a blank sheet application I'm writing, the first thing I want to do is set up a database, right? Now, not all applications would set up a database. You'd have somebody set up a database for you in the portal, and it'd give you the database name or the string, and you'd actually then just go and connect to that database.
I see.
But if we take a look at this little app, you know, this little method over here, and we go down to the definition of that one, you will see what I'm actually doing over here is I'm going on my client, create a database query, and I'm just using link, and I'm saying where the name of my database object is equal to the value that I have at the top.
Right.
If the database exists, return it. Otherwise, use a create method over there to create a database of a particular name.
Okay.
Simple. And then you'll see back in the program, I then, once I've got the database, I actually use that database to create a collection. And a collection is just a logical, you know, kind of container where I can put documents into. So if I go over here and I go to collection, you see, again, I'm doing something very similar. If the if the collection exists, return it. If the collection doesn't exist, create it.
All right.
Pretty simple. Once I've got a database and a collection, I can actually now start putting some products into it. So if we take a look at, you know, my kind of create products method.
So these databases and collections are partitioning within my application,
absolutely.
Within my instance.
Yep.
And I can have as many of these databases and collections as I want within the instance that I have.
Yeah, so within the instance, each of those capacity units that we talked about previously, those capacity units have a quota in terms of how many databases and collections you can have as well.
I see.
But those collections are definitely, they're your partitions.
Okay.
Okay. So if you want to go ahead and have a look, you know, there's this product called a shirt, and that's just a normal kind of POCO object that I've gone and populated up because I happen to have these kind of .NET objects, right?
I see. So we're doing this using the .NET SDK, using .NET.
Yep.
So you're using this object and its shape to basically just as a way to easily generate JSON.
Because I'm a .NET developer, and I like you know, working like this, and I don't necessarily like building up JSON. I find it sometimes a bit confusing or whatever. This is nice. I understand it. But if you're a JavaScript developer or you're working in Node, because we have a Node SDK as well, and we have a Python SDK.
Nice.
Now obviously in Node and Python, you can't do this kind of thing.
All right.
So in Node, you would actually just go and construct the JSON yourself.
Okay, and then as a .NET developer, I have a lot of flexibility. I can use POCOs, plain old CLR objects. I can use Dynamics. I can use really anything that JSON.NET or any JSON serializer.
You can take a piece of JSON string and pass it in if you wish.
So as long as it turns into JSON, I send JSON on the wire and I get it back.
Yep, send JSON on the wire, get it back. We don't translate it into any special form of JSON or anything like that. It's pure JSON on the wire, in and out.
Okay.
And then all I do is once I take that, I take my POCO object and I just say, hey, create me a document using this POCO object on the collection that I've set up, and off it goes and it'll create the document for me.
So I can send these as many as I want to you. How do I get these things back?
Ah, well, there's a number of different ways. And what we've tried to think about when we did this was, what's going to make you as the developer feel almost comfortable, no matter what environment you're coming from or what environment you're familiar with.
Right.
So if you're a .NET developer, you potentially would like to use Link, right? So we've got Link support. Mm-hmm. So I can go in here, and if I wanted to query for shirts using Link, it would be a simple kind of, you know, code that looks like this. We're down here.
Okay.
I have a snippet
called shirts Link.
I just have normal shirts.
Normal shirts.
Okay. So normal shirts, where product type equals shirt. Okay. So I'm saying, create me a document query strongly typed on shirt, mm-hmm. because I've got my POCO object. Okay. If I didn't have that, I could actually use Dynamics. Mm-hmm. Okay. Where product type equals shirt, give me back the shirt.
So this Link query here, this is going to create, and this is going to turn into something that turns on the wire. Is this going to turn into OData or some format?
It doesn't turn into OData. We translate it into an internal language, and then we execute that on our mm-hmm. our server in the back end.
So then it sounds like I can do that in Link, but some people like SQL.
Yeah. So if you like SQL, you can do the same thing in SQL. So you can actually say, for instance, over here, I've got, what's this, query project SQL. So let's go and have a look at projection SQL, where all I'm doing in this SQL query is I don't want the whole object back, right?
Right.
Because you saw how big my shirt object is. That's a lot of data kind of going over the wire. I might only want the products and the name, the type and the name.
Right, if I'm just
populating a list box.
Yeah, a list box, then that's just is the smallest amount I could get.
Yeah.
So I can do a projection, and in this case, I'm using ANSI SQL to do it.
You're just using ANSI SQL, and it'll feel very familiar to any SQL developer. So we've taken SQL grammar, and we've built SQL grammar on top of our NoSQL store. Mm-hmm. Because SQL is just select, you know, some things from some place mm-hmm. where some condition is equal to true or false.
And this is also useful that I might already have some intellectual property inside of SQL or inside of some link. This link looks very familiar. I might be using other existing storage techniques and say, you know, I could move a lot of this over to DocumentDB.
And this is exactly why we did it. We did it so that it was you reuse your skills, reuse the existing stuff that you got. It's not a whole different language that you have to go learn. It's not something that's proprietary just to this product. Mm-hmm. So it should feel familiar and feel comfortable.
So I can use this really from any existing client. I can do it from Node. I can do it from C Sharp. But I can do it in JavaScript, of course, as well.
Yeah. Inside, we've got a JavaScript SDK. So with the JavaScript SDK, if you were building, say, an iPhone app, you could use our JavaScript SDK and talk directly to DocumentDB in the background. You don't have to have a middle tier. Of course, you could build a middle tier using something like mobile services. Mm-hmm. But if you wanted to talk straight to the database, you could use our JavaScript client to talk straight to the database. And then you could actually construct up your queries in JavaScript.
So this is really a new Lego piece that can fit into your toolkit you can already use. Like we've got now things like Apache Cordova with Visual Studio. We've got C Sharp running on iPhones. We've got JavaScript in the client. We've got Azure websites. And then also things like table storage. I might have some things in table storage, some things in DocumentDB, and some things in Azure storage.
You know, it is just another tool in your toolbox. And, you know, there's this concept called polyglot persistence where systems today don't just use one database. You don't shoehorn something in because that's what your database kind of dictates to you. Mm-hmm. You pick the right technology for what you're trying to do. So if you're trying to do graphing, you pick a graph database. If you're trying to store JSON documents, you pick a JSON document database. Mm-hmm. If you're trying to do strong relational kind of stuff, you pick SQL Server, you know, mm-hmm. and you know one application today can actually span multiple different technologies.
And it is schemaless in the sense of you describe the shape of this object and you dropped it in there, and you know T-shirts have prices and product types, and then I can immediately go and query those in a very natural way.
So that's a very big difference from other products that are similar in that you can put in any document you like, doesn't matter what the schema is, what the shape is, what it looks like. And then immediately you can query that back because of our indexing technology. We index everything for you by default, right? So immediately, as soon as the document's in, you can actually start querying against it. Other products, you know, they dictate to you that you actually have to go and define your indexing paths before you can create.
That's a way of
before
saying
you can go query it.
I think that I'll mostly be in talking and asking for you things in this way. Like, I'm only interested in shirts by price.
Yeah.
You're saying that I can really just ask for it in any way that makes me happy.
Any way that makes you happy. You know, and you can, and we'll do that in the background. You know, once we get into the advanced stuff later on, we'll talk a bit about how you can actually tweak that and control that and fine tune exactly how that behaves. But for the majority of the cases, we believe the default's going to give you a good experience.
Very cool. Well, we've got a really powerful document database now in the form of Azure DocumentDB that I'm learning about here on Azure Friday. Mm-hmm.